brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. You know, I was looking at the Magnificat magazine, and I was very, very struck by an introduction that I'd like to share with you for the mass readings today. A chief effect of our fallen state is that we easily become haughty of heart. Haughty of heart. Thinking ourselves to have the mind of a god, so to speak. Faced with this dilemma, who can be saved? Jesus answers, "For man, this is impossible, but for God, all things are possible." Thus, we stake everything on that divine possibility and be ready to give up all in order to inherit eternal life. That's worth pondering. That's worth reflecting on. Do I think that I'm saving myself? What I want to do is walk as close to the Lord as I can and do what He would have me do. Do what I think is good for the day. Repenting when I fail. But if we don't pay attention to that, we put ourselves in very, very difficult high water. Please, brothers and sisters, take seriously how much God loves us. How much He would make a saint out of every one of us if we would cooperate. But we don't. It's all about me, myself, and I too often. You've heard that phrase. We think of ourselves too much and not enough of the Lord and others. So let's take a look at the readings for today with all of that in mind. The prophet Ezekiel tells us, chapter 28, verses 1 to 10, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because you are haughty of heart, you say, a god am I. I occupy a godly throne in the heart of the sea. And yet you are a man. You are not God. However you may think yourself like a god. Oh yes, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that is beyond you. By your wisdom and your intelligence, you have made riches for yourself. You have put gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom applied to your trading, you have heaped up your riches. Your heart has grown haughty from your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have thought yourself to have the mind of a god, therefore, are you content and secure? Well, I worked hard for that money, but are you holding on to it for yourself? Therefore, I will bring against you foreigners, the most barbarous of nations. They shall draw their swords against your beauteous wisdom. They shall run them through your splendid apparel. They shall thrust you down to the pit there to die, a bloody corpse in the heart of the sea. Will you then say, I am a god, when you face your murderers? No, you are a man, not a god." Let me repeat that. You are man, not a god. "Handed over to those who will slay you. You shall die the death of the uncircumcised at the hands of foreigners. For I have spoken, says the Lord God." Now, this is what can happen to us. It doesn't have to. Look at yourself. Look at yourself today. How much pride works in us? It works in all of us. But how strong is it? Does it have control over you in some way? Your pride is supposed to be your servant, not your master. And that's what we want to ask of the Lord today, that we can have the heart of a child, the mind of a good person, the heart of a child, willing and desiring to follow the Lord where He leads us. The responsorial psalm says, "It is I who deal death and give life." And that's true. That's true. We don't give life. We enjoy life. We might make someone happy for something, That's giving life in a certain way, but I cannot give life to another. Only God can give that to me. I would have said, I will make an end of them and blot out their name from men's memories, had I not feared the insolence of their enemies, feared that these foes would mistakenly boast. How could one man rot 1,000, or 2 men put up 10,000 to flight, unless it was because their rock sold them and the Lord delivered them up? Close at hand is the day of their disaster. It's prideful people. Close at hand is the day of their disaster, and their doom is rushing upon them. But surely the Lord shall do justice for his people. On his servants he shall have pity. Express your sorrow to the Lord when you try to take things into your own hands, when you try to run things the way you want. Take them to the Lord first. You might be right, but take them to the Lord and ask the Lord to bless what you think you should do right now. Bring the Lord into your daily life. Love him. Now let's take a look at the gospel according to Matthew chapter 29, verses 23 to 30. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Now, there's two ways of being rich. One way of being rich is, thank God, God has given me this abundance. How can I help other people with it? What can I do for them? And the other is, oh, good, 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 this is mine, all mine, I can do whatever I want to do. That's the greatest selfishness. Don't do that. And if you have done it, turn away from it. And it's true, when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, "Who then can be saved?" I mean, really, who can be saved? We all love money. Jesus looked at them and said, "For men, this is impossible, but for God, all things are possible." And that means that we take our wealth, if we have it, and we bring it before the Lord and say, "Lord, you have supplied me with this. I worked hard, but you have supplied me with this. What do you want me to do? Is there a part, do things for my family? Is there a part that should go to someone in need? Is there a charity where money should go? What should I do? Or should I just hoard it all for myself?" Think about this. What can you give to another who has far less than you have? When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "For men, this is impossible, but for God, all things are possible." And then Peter said to him in reply, "We have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for the sake of my name, will receive 100 times more, and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." I've encountered over the years just a handful, but several poor people, in the sense that they barely had enough. They had enough, but barely enough. And they were the ones so often who would offer something to me. It might be a dime, might be a quarter, and that's all they had. It might be a nickel. penny. They offered me what they had. And that's what God wants of us, brothers and sisters. Turn around and say, what can I do with what I have? Who can I serve? Who can I help? That's what God is asking of us. Many who are first will be last. And the last, we don't have much, but we have a little something, will be first. Trust him. Trust him when he tells you this. The kingdom of God is within you, Christ told us. And this comes from the servant Walter Chiswick, who was convicted of being a Vatican spy in World War II and spent 23 years in Soviet prisons. Read the life of Walter Chiswick. It's really, really worth it. But he says here, this is something that he said in his time. He said, the visible church, which is a reflection of God's kingdom here on earth, was almost non-existent in the vastness of Siberia. Christians here, even as I, had to attempt to serve God surrounded on all sides by an atmosphere of unbelief and godlessness, an atmosphere of atheistic propaganda that was almost suffocating. Yet my greatest consolation was the evident faith of the courageous Christians I served, a living witness in this desolate land to the power of God's grace and the existence of his kingdom. Their faith and their courage inspired me daily to offer up all my actions and words and sufferings of each day to the work of spreading the kingdom of God upon earth. And what was I in comparison to the millions of atheists in the Soviet Union? What was I in comparison to the might and the power of the Soviet government? What were any of us really in the face of the system around us with all its organs of propaganda and powers of persecution? Yet in God's providence, here we were. This was the place he had chosen for us. The situation and the circumstances in which he had placed us. One thing we could do and do daily. We could seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, first of all in our own lives, and then in the lives of those around us. From the time of the apostles, 12 simple men, alone and afraid, who had received the commission to go forth into the whole world to preach the good news of the kingdom, there has been no other way for the spreading of the kingdom than by the acts and lives of individual Christians striving each day to fulfill the will of God. It was written by Walter Chiswick, a Jesuit priest who was a prisoner for many years. He was actually released in the 1960s and brought home to America. But think of that. Think of the months. He died in 1984. Let's ask his help in doing what he did. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.